This recording, Oregon 2, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comma Gets a Cure is copyright Douglas N. Onorov, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Comma Gets a Cure. Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot and mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling, "Comma, Comma," which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Comma was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her, and finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Comma and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis almost immediately. She remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. "I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure." I was born in Southern Oregon, in Medford, Oregon, where my parents were living at the time, and after less than a year of living there, I moved to Ashland, which is a small community right next to Medford. Medford was a pretty large mill town, and Ashland never had a decent-sized lumber mill. We had flour mills and some other small wood-finishing things going on. And the very first Shakespearean theater in the United States. We also had a normal school, which became a college and then became a university. It was a small town. And when I was first growing up there, it was pretty rural. A lot of my neighbors had dead deer carcasses in their garages every winter. As I got older, it became a lot more gentrified. And the composition of the town changed quite a bit. The people who were living there when I was younger had a much more pronounced, I think, rural accent. They had their R's were darker, and they had expressions that were more from probably regions of, say, North Carolina, Oklahoma, that kind of thing, when people migrated out of those impoverished areas during the Depression. I can say for a fact that my grandparents on my mother's side, they were from, my grandmother was from North Dakota. She had an accent that was sometimes borderline Midwesternish, and they had vocabulary words that I don't use, like dabino for couch, and they'd say things like cement for the concrete. In terms of growing up in my hometown, it's hard to see your own accent. I don't think I think the first time I noticed that I had an accent that was maybe more rural than I would have liked at the time was when I would visit my friends in San Francisco. What I noticed was that people in the city that I saw there, the ones that were from around the Pacific Northwest, had kind of a drawly tendency when they talked. So I suppose I have some of that.